This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan again at this time, blazing the path to the book, to the world of lost sinners, blazing the path, cutting back the briars and the bushes and the brambles, and getting rid of those things that clutter up our heart. We're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're looking there in the book of Revelation in the 11th chapter, I believe we are now, and going on day by day, and we're looking last message, of how that man will not have God to rule over him. Man will accept God anywhere else except on the throne as a sovereign God of the earth. Every sinner who ever gets saved comes to recognize God is sovereign and will bow to the lordship of Christ or go to hell. Let me read that again. Every sinner who ever gets saved, every poor old soul who ever gets saved, comes to recognize that God is sovereign and will bow his knee to the lordship of Christ or go to hell. The scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I have to tell folks once in a while when I get to talking to someone, I said, your tongue now, using all sorts of vulgarity and those things, but one day it will confess Christ as Lord of Lords and God of Gods. God demands a surrender, an unconditional surrender. Folks ask me, how do you get saved? I said, surrender. Fall dead. Drop dead. Dr. Copeland used to say, just drop dead. I'll tell this little story that back there during the Civil War, I read much about the Civil War and all the old war generals and those things. And they were hand-to-hand combat mostly. Some of them had horses, but most of them were hand-to-hand. And they would build bunkers there to get behind to fire their rifles over. And then they would come across them. But so when they got to be overrun, they saw they couldn't win. The commanding officer would have one of them to tie a white rag or white sheet or pillowcase or something around his bayonet and raise it up over the top of that bunker. Surrender. We surrender. We surrender. Oh, my friend, no army, no military personnel will take advantage of a person who has held up the flag of surrender. And neither will God. When you surrender unto God, my friend, he respects that surrender. If you listen now, he demands an unconditional. You don't have any rights. No, you don't have anything. Absolute surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ or go to hell. God demands, according to Luke 14:33, an absolute forsaken of the world and the utter dependence upon and then come to the utter dependence upon Christ before you can be his disciple. Thus we see that all this little soft soap, silk handkerchief, visual aid, flannel rag, flannel cloth, religious movies, those things in our churches today is nothing but satanic and diabolical to the core. God pity us in the day of judgment. So when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come forth, as we saw there, in all of his power, claiming obedience on earth that is due to him from all of his creatures, humanity will be found to be one hotbed of rebellion. When the Lord Jesus steps forth in his manifested glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with a scepter of power, according to Revelation 19, it will be like striking or stirring up a hornet's nest. But may the Spirit of God drive home this truth to your hearts. If you never learn to bow in absolute surrender to the Lordship of Christ, to know him as Lord, with your will completely broken at his feet, you will never know what it means to be saved. Now, my friend, there'll be no rebellion in heaven. There'll be no rebellion in heaven. No, there won't be any rebellion there. Won't be any pride there. Won't be any covetousness there. Someone has said, if a covetous devil got to heaven, he'd take a pickaxe and a shovel and go to picking up the golden street and hauling them off somewhere. But listen, do you know that man has so long been let alone until there's no fear of God before his eyes? The Holy Spirit has all but been withdrawn from this world. There's not much Holy Spirit conviction anymore. No, man has been left alone to his own devices. But let me tell you, one day when man's long heyday has ended, his rebellion has reached its summit, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to step forth with a scepter of power, and you will bow or be stricken off the earth. The scripture says, and the nations were angry. But thank God, when the Lord Jesus Christ steps forth with the iron rod to rule, it will be a time when this earth will obey the will of God. This will be the millennial reign of the Lord here on earth for 1,000 years that so many people today make fun of, make light of, laugh at. Laugh at it if you will. You better make fun of it now if you're going to make fun, because God's word is true and cannot be broken. Our Lord will reign forever and forever. Now we come to the second result, what we find when the Lord comes on the scene, and that is the wrath is come. Yes, the wrath of Jehovah God is come. God's wrath has been postponed, held back, delayed for so long that men denied the wrath of God. I tell my folks here, God is angry with you. If you're not saved, you may be my daughter, my child, my loved one, but if you're not saved, the Lord is angry with you. His wrath hangs over your head. And the average pulpit today speaks of God as a God of love, while the world says God is not a just God, that it will send folks to hell. Now, my friend, that's the most diabolical statement that any human could ever make, that God would not send anyone to hell. And then it says, is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? Listen to Paul's answer in verse 6. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? How shall God judge the world? I know God is love, but God is also a God of wrath. God is light, and he hates sin. Sets forth in Acts 17:31. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that no man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, listen to Romans 2:8. But unto them that are contentious. Do you see anybody contentious around you today? I do. All I see mostly is contentious. I have folks write me who are contentious. I got a letter the other day from a man who said he was an avowed atheist. He said, I'm an atheist. But he said, how you expect to win men to Christ when you preach hard on sin? They'll never come to Christ. Well, my friend, if the Holy Spirit doesn't draw them, I can't do a thing in the world about it. But listen, the individual who never comes to know the wrath of God under the Holy Spirit's convicting work will never know the love of God in salvation. Oh, no, under Holy Spirit conviction. Now, man in the pulpit and in the pew has so long worshipped a God of his own creation, a God of his own imagination, until he is startled when you begin to talk about Jehovah God as the God of wrath, Romans 5:9, the God of vengeance, Hebrews 10:30. The God I worship is a God of love, but brother, he's also a God of wrath. He hates sin. He cannot tolerate sin. And I know that the God the world talks about does not exist. It is a God of their own imagination, according to 2 Corinthians 4:3-6. Satan has their minds so blinded that they cannot believe. Now, I know that, my friend. I tell folks often, many of our folks, many whom I know, they believe God to be the old man upstairs. They believe God to be Mother Nature. They believe God to be poor, lowly Jesus, standing on the sideline of time, cringing his hand, wringing his hand, waiting for someone to make a decision for Jesus. That's not the Lord, my friend. That's all of Satan. Man lives in a fool's paradise who speak of God of the Bible as being a God who will not punish sin. He's just a fool. You say, well, don't call me a fool. I don't call you a fool. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart, no God. Brother, your sins are either to be punished in a substitute or punished in your own body in hell. Did you know sin has to be punished? Don't ever forget that. Put that down in your day book. Would you do that? Sin must be punished. Our Lord suffered the equivalent of all the sins of all of God's elect while there on the cross. He did. He suffered the equivalency of all of our sins. And I tell my folks here, and I tell you, There's no sin registered against or recorded against the old trailblazer. Not one sin. I make folks so mad they could chomp a 10-penny nail into because I tell them there's no sin registered against me. And you say, how so, Pastor? Because they're under the blood. Under the blood. Under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A little young Sunday school teacher one Sunday morning had a group of boys, and he was trying to test their wit and test their knowledge and test their those things. And he said, okay, boys, I want to ask you all a question. He said, is there anything that God can't see? And you and I right quickly would say, no, there's nothing God can't see. But this little fella in the back, raggedy, held up his hand, and he said, Mr. Teacher, God can't see my sins. Because they're all under the blood. They're all under the blood. I thought that was so great. I tell that often because it's true. My sins are under the blood. The old trailblazer, there's not one sin registered against me. Oh, I know what a sinner I am. What a sinner I was. What a sinner I am. But they're under the blood. The Bible calls our Redeemer, our substitute. He took our place. And you know what happens in essence? When old trailblazer sins, the father looks at the son and the son says, he's one of mine. He's one of those I died for. He's one of those I shed my blood for. Put that on my account. Put that on my account. Aren't you glad that the Lord has an account with God the Father? Oh, it's like when I was a kid coming up in school. We didn't have lunchrooms back then. And on our early days, we had a little store across the street from the church, from the school. And my brother and I, we were in grade school, and we knew the lady that worked to run the store. But my dad had gone by there and told her, said, Aunt Lucy, said, those two boys of mine be over here pretty often, I imagine, get some kind of a cold drink and a stage plank or a moon pie for lunch. Said, just write it down on the book, I'll pay you. He'd come by there on Friday and paid all my bills. But the Lord paid my bill in full with his blood. He gave his all. Someone asked, said, how much did the Lord pay? I don't know how much he paid, but he paid it all. He paid it all. I don't owe anything. Am I ashamed or afraid to say that there's no sin registered against the trailblazer? No, sir. No, sir. I tell you quickly. My sins are under the blood, washed away as far as the east is from the back. I think about the old Christian there in Pilgrim's Progress. When his sin, they were heavy on his back. It was like a sea bag. I was in the Navy and I packed an old sea bag around for a long time. But I think that was an old sea bag that Christian had with all of his sins in that old bag. And he was going down the road and the Lord relieved him of those sins, and the bag rolled down the hill and rolled into the ocean, far out of sight. The Lord couldn't see it no more. I praise the Lord for that. I just don't know what else to say today. I come here with a broken heart, thinking about you who listened to the old trailblazer. Would you just take time out and ask the Lord to search your heart, see if you're in Christ. You know, it's a good time to check up. Make our calling and election sure. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Are you of the world? You long for the world. You run after the world. Is that what you love to do? Oh, my friend, no. No, I don't do that either, because God's grace has supplied all of my needs. I'm rich in Christ. Rich in Christ, yes, sir. Just day after day, the Lord supplies my needs. Supplies the needs here at Radio Missions. After the storms came through, the Lord's began to supply our extra needs. Some of our folks were displaced and out of pocket, and the money fell off a little bit. And other folks stepped up to the plate, as it were, and the Lord moved their heart to help us. I wish you'd help us. My mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.